Welcome, my friends, to the Marvel of Horror, where we discuss all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I am your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast, Bruce Marvel, and today is an old buddy from high school, Jason Williams, the Tiger Man himself.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on with you, my man?
Not much, just out here. Trying to live. Yeah.
Tonight, so we don't know when this is coming out, because we always edit it later, but tonight is the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So you know I got to bring that up.
And oh, yeah.
It's definitely fitting I'm doing this episode tonight with you. Yeah. So real quick, who you got to win?
Oh, I think I might be a little biased here, but I'm a man CM Punk.
I'm hoping
CM
Punk wins. Was it today, the 27th of January?
Yes.
So that's the day we're filming. This is after the bombshell news of the Vince McMahon sex trafficking. I don't know what's going to happen now. My WrestleMania card was basically, all right, I think Roman Reigns was going to drop the title to Randy Orton, and Cody was going to fight Randy. Because that's like, you know, they always do this thing like, oh, your story. You're like, well,
yeah.
That's a story that never got
finished. And that might be the true story.
Yeah. That might be the true story. Because, yeah, like, and that's how you'll get The Rock. Like, maybe The Rock will cost him the match or something.
Mm.
I thought we were going to get Punk and Seth. And I thought we were going to get Gunther and Lesnar.
Yeah. I would love to see that.
Now we don't know.
Everything's up in the air. Everything's up in the air right now.
You know what? Like, so I kind of got out of wrestling. I mean, I followed it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm kind of like, that's what intrigues me to get back.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the first time it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Because it was getting like really predictable.
For a while. Oh, super predictable.
Super predictable. And so, like, I'm like, all right, this is a very crazy level of excitement right now as far as wrestling. Are you going to go watch WrestleMania in Philadelphia?
It's a bit expensive.
Yeah.
And
even the nosebleeds are like...
It's crazy. And the seats at the Wells Fargo, they're super small. Super small. I don't know if I can sit in those seats for, what is it, like 4 or 5 plus hours?
A night, because it's gonna be a two night thing, right?
Ooh, yeah. What do you think of that?
I mean, I see why they're doing it, because like WWE is so much bigger than like we remember.
Yes,
you know, so like I understand why they have to do it. I'm not a big fan of it. You know what I mean? It's just like, and that's only because
talking the
two night thing. If I was younger and had like all this time on my hands, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah,
but now it's like, nah, I'm old now, man. I ain't got time for 2 6-hour nights of wrestling.
And I understood when they did it. I think they started it during the pandemic. And I understood why they did it for that situation. But now, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of people that, like, you're trying to get on that card and stuff like that. And I think, like you said, like, the year of COVID was the first... two-night spot we got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how, like, big into horror you are or not, but, like, what was your first real experience with the horror genre? Was it a movie? Was it a book? Was it something? Was it an experience that happened?
Me, horror is funny because the popular consensus is between, amongst me and my other boys, they think I don't like horror.
Yeah?
They think I don't like horror. I am I'm a selective horror guy.
Okay.
I'm not super into the slashers, but there's certain ones that I do like.
Okay.
But for the most part, I'm a paranormal nut.
That's paranormal. What's up.
I love the paranormal, the creepy stuff. Like, that's the stuff that gets me. Like, the stuff that's like, yo, that could really, like, happen at your house.
See, that's...
And that's... I love that aspect of horror.
That's, like, the stuff... Like, I tell people all the time, I'm a child of the 80s, so there's obviously slasher stuff I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more like you. Like, I like the ghost story, creepy stuff. What's, like, your go-to movie for that kind of horror, that kind of scare?
That kind of horror, let me think. I mean, like, Poltergeist is a classic.
Yeah. You
know? Without sounding cliche, like, Poltergeist, even the Exorcist movies, and they'll scare the shit out of you. Especially as a kid, even as a grown man, you know, I'm still like, ugh. But one of the funniest things is when people ask me what's the scariest movie I've ever seen. And I got to think about, like, what movie, like, literally had a lasting effect on me.
I can't wait.
And don't laugh.
Drum roll.
Believe it or not, The First Grudge.
Okay.
the first Grudge.
Like the American Grudge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I you know what? I've never watched the Japanese one.
It's really good. You would love it.
Okay, I might have to check that out.
Definitely check it out. Because if it's not scarier, it's just as. But I don't think that's funny. I think like for the time when it came out, was legit creepy.
And the thing with that movie was, it was just the entity, and it was the sound. Because at the time, when that came out, whatever ex-girlfriend I had at the time, she shall remain nameless.
She will not be named.
Who thou shalt not be named. But it was funny. She may or may not have worked at the hospital.
Okay.
And we lived together. So sometimes she would call me from work. And I'm just home chilling. And I'd see, you know, caller ID back then, you know, we didn't really have cell phones like that, but we had the house phone, you had a landline, caller ID comes up.
The big white box.
And I'm looking up, and I was like, oh, it's the hospital. Oh, so-and-so. So I answer, she would make the sound on the phone.
Yeah, that's not
cool. Creep me, and it would just, something psychological about, like, I know it's her. I know she's just making this. I know it's just a movie, but still,
yeah.
I'm at home, like, turn on every light. I remember when we went to see it, like, for at least 3 weeks after I watched it, I was going into rooms, putting my hand in and turning the light on before I even walked in. I'm like, I go into the bathroom, putting my hand in, turn on the light. I wouldn't do anything in the dark. And I, like, when I think about it, I was like, wow, that movie really sat with me for weeks, and it's still, even when if I watch it today, it's still creepy to me.
I remember, like, when it came out, especially first time, I was like, nah, this movie's creepy. It's really scary.
The second one's terrible, though.
Wow. Yeah.
I saw that in theaters, and it got so ridiculous I couldn't even be scared anymore. One of my favorites, Cloverfield.
Oh, I love Cloverfield.
I love that first one. I loved Cloverfield.
That first one, the way they promoted it coming out was so good. A good segue into this, because a lot of people thought it was a Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing rumors it's Godzilla.
So I got some Godzilla stuff out here.
I love it.
But the Godzilla movie we're going to focus on is Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
First off, how many times did you see it?
I saw it, was at least four times in theaters. At least four times.
Oh, heavy spoilers coming your way. So I only got to see Godzilla Minus One time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to find a theater where I can still catch the black and white one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know if I'm going to catch it in time. I think it's February 1st it's out?
Yeah.
Right.
It's, I think it's running right now. I'll look at the schedule. I'll let you know what I see, too.
Yeah, somewhere I can get to.
Yeah.
I want to see that black and white cut. What'd you think? I mean, I kind of have an idea. If you see it four times, you kind of have an idea. But, man, walk us through. What do you mean?
Well, initially, when it was coming out, I was like, okay. Oh, Toho's got a Godzilla coming out. Cool. You know, I love all things Godzilla. Disclaimer.
Right on.
I love Godzilla. Probably was my first love as a kid. Like, dinosaurs and Godzilla.
Okay.
And then my mom. then my mom. You know, she's right under Godzilla. This is right there. But yeah.
Godzilla, mom, love of country.
Yeah, right? But I always loved Godzilla. But I've been big into the legendary, the Monsterverse, and the legendary Godzilla.
Oh, man, dude. So we'll get into that stuff.
Huge
too,
fan. So, you know, the other Toho's Godzilla kind of not falling to the wayside, but, you know, you got Legendary and the Monsterverse getting all this attention. And then my boy's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're making another Toho's coming out with a Godzilla this year. And I'm like, what? But I was like, Godzilla Kong 2 is next year. He's going to put one out right before. And so I thought it was going to be completely overshadowed. I was like, it's a little appetizer to get us to Kong and Godzilla 2. Like, all right, cool. I was not expecting what they created at all. Like, I went in, me and my boy, Jules, we went they did an early one night thing down at the IMAX down Riverfront.
Okay.
They did it in IMAX. So it was the first night. Man. It was a day early from the actual release, because Japan got their release I think in November.
Yeah, I think you almost, I want to say you're right.
And then ours was December, beginning of December. This was like a day or two before our official release, which I don't even get why movies say they release on a Friday when you're really releasing on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, or when someone, like, especially Marvel movies, like, yeah, this Friday, you mean this Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah. So we see it that first night, and we only went because it was an IMAX. I was like, yo, I got to at least see it in IMAX one time. Because everybody else was just showing it regular. And then his brother, who's also a huge Godzilla fan, all of us, he wanted to go that night, but he does a lot of, he's an actor and he directs and does a lot of movie stuff. He had a table reading that day that we were going into IMAX. So he's like, I'm not going to make it. I'll go the next night when its official release comes out. So me and Jules, we go to the IMAX premiere and I'm sitting there. We're just like watching it just from beginning to end. And then like afterwards, I like turned to him and was like, man, I think this is my favorite Toho Godzilla movie. Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't want to just speak out of it just happened. Because, you know, you tend to blow things up right after they happen. But I was just like, no, that was incredible.
Yeah, big Godzilla guy. Mm-hmm. Always have been since I was a kid too. Mm-hmm. Like I remember... I killed the VCR version I had of Godzilla vs. Megalon. Like, that's great. Yeah, oh, man, that's a great one. I can. So, like, I wore that tape out.
Yeah.
That and the first, like, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla was, like, the most of my two faves. But, yeah, this one, I put it up there with Gojira.
Yeah.
And it might even be a little bit better.
I agree with that. So then the next night, right? So this was Wednesday night. So then Thursday night comes. And then his brother, Brian's like, yo, I'm going to check it out tonight. And I was like, yo, I'm going to go again. So I went with one brother one night. Mm-hmm. And then the other brother the next night. So then after I watch it with Brian, movie's over, get done. I turned to him, I was like, I told your brother yesterday this might be my favorite Toho Godzilla. After watching this the second time, I think this is my favorite Godzilla movie, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's just, it was incredible.
And for those who haven't seen it, might not see it, I encourage everyone to watch it. Because, like, what they don't understand, like, even, and why I'm bringing this specific movie up on, like, this horror podcast is because... It's not a horror movie per se, but Godzilla is like a mass murderer in this movie.
Yes,
like he's definitely evil. He's definitely like a monster. He is basically he's the Godzilla of old. He's the Gojira of old. And there's some really I went and seen it. I had off of work one day, and I went and saw it with my two brothers. They're Godzilla. They love Godzilla, but they're not like the diehard Godzilla fans like I was or like I am. I mean, and again, they're more into like the legendary newer stuff, which is great stuff.
Yeah.
And when we sat down to watch it, like I knew the movie was going to be in Japanese. Another thing, movies in Japanese, a lot of people out there, they're not going to go read a movie for 2.5 hours. Which we're going to get into. Like this movie did so well financially.
Yeah.
Because a lot, it's so good, a lot of people were going to go watch it and read it for 2.5 hours. But we sat down, and you could tell, like, their vibe, because we saw it at Christiana Mall. And you could tell their vibe when they realized it was subtitled. It was like,
And I'm not a subtitle guy either. Like, I just want to be able to look and not have to read anything.
Yeah.
But without even interrupting you, I... would never even want to see this in an English dub.
No.
I would not want to see it in the English
dub. Me neither.
I need it.
I think it takes away, because this movie's so, like, Japan culture focused. It would take away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get one.
Yeah.
At least, you know what I mean? I almost kind of hope we get one, just because, again, everyone should see this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a brilliant film.
Mm-hmm.
But then you could tell... real quick, that didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, with my two brothers, they're like, oh, we don't even care. Because, like I said, the movie focuses on, like, you know, Japan This is after World War II, which a lot of people don't really go into. What is the? That's another thing I love about this movie. It's like, okay, we're really going to touch on what was the mind of Japan after the war.
Yeah.
And how this movie is really like a celebration of life.
Yeah.
And I mean, Godzilla's. There was parts where I was watching, without giving too much away. It had that Jaws vibe.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Like,
I was just talking with somebody the other day, and they were talking about it was Godzilla Jaws version.
Yeah, yeah. And for anyone who kind of is like, well, what's that mean? It's like that vibe you get when you know Jaws is coming, but you don't see him, or you see him real spirit. Like, it had that style, and it was shot that was, man, it was so good. Kind of give you like a breakdown of the movie again. We kind of discussed it was like this is after World War II. Japan's basically, it starts off Japan's getting ready to surrender following the kamikaze pilot who's kind of like, nah, I'm kind of copping out of being a kamikaze guy, which in Japan culture it's like, all right, you're a coward, and you're, it's
dishonorable.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's very dishonorable, which is very big over there at that time, being a coward. And it follows this character. Just, he lost everything after the war.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chance to take out Godzilla before the atom bomb test mutated him, which they kind of get into, and he failed to do that, because, like, you know. And then, yeah, when Godzilla shows up, like, what is, so, when you first see Godzilla, like, mutated, what was, like, the Godzilla we've come to know?
Yeah.
What did you?
I was just like, well, the initial one, On the island in the beginning, I was a little confused, but I'm like, wow, he's small to be Godzilla. And he had very dinosaur like characteristics. Like, he looked like Godzilla, but he also looked like he's a dinosaur at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused in the beginning. I was like, where are they going with this? Is this just a different kind of Godzilla? But then when you see the one point where they show the bomb and you see the mushroom cloud. And then you don't get to see him, but you see his eye, you see the transformation at that point. And then the Godzilla we got, he was just terrifying.
He was, like,
he wasn't even, like, it wasn't even, like, he's cool, like the legendary Godzilla. He was terrifying.
Yeah, he, like I said, he is just this, like, unsympathetic, unfeeling, like, monster, just bent on destroying everything he comes across. Like, he's a full-on, like, monster.
Yeah.
And the movie does a really good job setting up, like, the characters.
Yes.
And you already care about these people. You're already, like, very invested in, like, what's going on with their life at this point in the film. And here he comes. Now you're not rooting for Godzilla in this movie.
Like, this was the first Godzilla movie that I've ever watched that I gave a damn about the humans.
Yeah.
And I've never cared about the humans.
Yeah.
Like, they were there because they have to be, but I wanted to see as much destruction. I wanted to see Godzilla destroy everything, and I want to do what he does. This was the first one where I'm looking and I'm like, I like these people.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this is the first movie where, like, that I can remember. Like, I'm sure that was, like, the feel of the movie, like, the people back in the 50s when they first saw it.
Because
it's like Godzilla's kind of, it's much the same. He's just going to go and, like, mass murder, like, the coast of Japan. Man, Godzilla's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, right.
I hope they find a way to beat it.
Yeah, like, stop him, please. Like, I hope he goes back out the ocean, just go somewhere else. Because it was just, you got emotionally invested.
Exactly.
And they did, like, the job that they did setting up from the very beginning of the movie.
Yes.
To the next phase, like, what happens on the island happens, but you're even trying to figure out, like, what's going on. Like, is he a kamikaze pilot? And then just as you're reading and watching, you figure out, he didn't do his mission. And then what I really liked about it was nothing was wasted in this movie. Everything was connected to something else. And when I watched it the second time, it was all the things that I missed the first time. I was like, oh, I caught that. And I was like, oh, that's the guy that came back to, oh, okay. Yeah.
This movie does a very, very good job of, like, I feel like modern movies, they have to over-explain it to you because they think you're going to forget. Or like, this movie just does a good job of letting things kind of fall into place, and you just...
And I love movies like that.
Exactly. Like, they're not treating you like you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like movies do that now.
Because they're like, oh, we got to remind you so-and-so is... Yeah.
Exactly. We got to over-explain this plot because you're probably on your phone or something and you're not paying attention. This movie's just like, here's the story. Everything's just gradually moving at a pace. And you just fill in the blanks while you watch it. They're not treating you like you're... a dumbass, not paying attention.
And
like you said, not everything means something. And again, like the message of this movie, like when we get like the history of Japan, like or World War II or whatever, it's kind of just like, all right, they were in line with the Nazis, they bombed Pearl Harbor, they were tough to fight, but then we dropped the bomb, we beat them, that was it.
Yeah.
And they were horrible people.
Yeah.
I mean, they bombed Pearl Harbor, what they did when they occupied China. But you don't hear, like, the after effects.
Yeah.
And this movie does, like, a really good job of, I think, like, hey, man, that's kind of showing you, you know, we didn't want to be kamikaze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're tired of celebrating death. We want to celebrate life. Yeah. Which is, like, the message of the movie. Yeah. Which I thought was an awesome message. And, like, again, heavy spoilers. I knew he was showing them the ejector seat.
I did figure that out.
I knew it.
I figured that one out because once they were in that one, when they called the meeting of all like the civilians or ex-military, and they were talking, it was like, yeah, well, we're doing this, and we don't even have proper, there's no food, the jets don't even have ejector seats and all that, and I did figure that one out.
Yeah.
But even the mechanic character, every character... became my favorite character at some point in the movie.
Absolutely.
Like, everybody took a turn being my favorite character because he was the guy on the island, and he was the sole survivor aside from the pilot, and then he's coming, and even down to, you see he gets the limp after the encounter with Godzilla, and then the rest of the movie, he's got this limp going, and then...
Selling it.
Yeah, he sold it.
He's still selling that leg Godzilla worked on.
He didn't break kayfabe at all. But it was just like great. It was so fluid and the continuity and everything. Like literally everybody. I like the doctor with the hair, the one scientist.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to like him just off his hair when I first see him. And he ended up being real cool and just, there were so many emotional parts in there.
Very emotional movie. There's a couple spots in that movie where you're just like, you're in your seat, just like,
yeah,
like you. It just took you for that ride, like a lot of movies can't do anymore.
It's a lost art, and I really like the fact that, you know, just speaking about the war and things that are very relatable to things today, and not even like getting political about anything, but it's just like when you're taught about World War II, World War I, you just hear about a country. They're the bad guys. But you don't think about that country has citizens that have nothing to do with war, the military, the government. They're just people that live there. Just like our country. Like, you can think whatever you think about the United States, but I said there's people here that they're just innocent people that live here. So I like that it gave you that look of post-war and just how it was shot was just...
Yeah.
Like, when he first came back to his town... And just the way everything looked, and it was just so depressing and beat down, and just you felt that heaviness of what they were going through, and just how the music, can't say enough about the music.
The music, the score was incredible.
The score was just perfect.
That's one thing that's so missing from movies today. There's like the days of these epic music scores that just go along with the film so perfectly and stuff. I feel like that's another lost art form. It's like anymore watching a movie, it's just like some modern like music that they're trying to like, and then the other stuff, it's like, all right, man, well, who's the guy who does the Christopher Nolan movies? Yeah, get him.
Yeah. It's throw him in. Cause I got a boy, my boy Brian. Sometimes he rides around just listening to movie music scores.
Yeah, my friend Justin does the same thing.
He's real big into it, and, you know, him doing directing and doing what he does, he's big into movie scores. And me too. Like, yeah. It's just sometimes the music just gives you that extra whatever, if you didn't have that score in there, would be missing in that movie.
My sister-in-law comes over, like, every other week, mm-hmm. and she always picks, like, because she has not seen, like, any movies. Oh. So it's, like, it's cool watching her watch these, like, mm-hmm. these are movies I've seen, like, I don't know how many times, and, like, it's cool watching her watch these movies for mm-hmm. the first time. And this past Christmas, she had never seen Die Hard. Oh, wow. So we watched Die Hard. And I'm watching Die Hard, and I'm like, man, you don't realize how important the score is mm-hmm. in this movie. Just like how, like, you know, there's one part where it really sank in for me. There's one part where my man throws, like, a smoke bomb, mm-hmm. and the way it's rolling, you hear the little thing on the piano. It's yeah. like, yo, everything is just... They got something musical for everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like you said, fluid, yeah. the whole thing. I felt like this movie was the same. Very powerful music yeah. when it had to be at times.
Yeah.
Very, I'm just like...
And then when you get Godzilla's theme.
Yeah, man.
And his march music. Oh, but it hits because it fits. Like, anytime you hear the dun, dun, and it just mm-hmm. goes in and you're just like
yeah, just, which the... I'm gonna use JR's terms, like, you know, business is about to pick up.
Right.
I'm trying to. Someone did a thing. They were talking about it. Like, I guess the way they did his roar for this mm-hmm. movie, I think they took the old audio, mm-hmm. like the old roar he had, and just put it through something else.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like what they put it through, but they basically like recorded it and re-recorded it, going through like another like. Big speaker,
yeah,
just to make it sound that, but it's literally the old roar that just redid, and it sounds fucking scary.
Yeah. I loved it. Like, it was different, but still familiar at the same time.
Yeah,
and that's like that's what I really love about this movie. It was new, but still familiar.
I'm gonna use the last Ghostbusters movie mm-hmm. as an example too. It's like you can tell something new. Mm-hmm. While paying homage to the old mm-hmm. and please everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like they make things harder than they really have to be.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
They either want to completely revamp everything to where it's almost something completely different, not related to the franchise or whatever, or they spend so much time trying to keep it true to whatever it was before that it's like, well, this is more of the same.
Exactly.
Give me something new.
Well, how about the fact that this is another reason why I love this movie, and we were kind of talking about this before the camera. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it. It's like a segue kind of into this. How about the fact that this movie would have cost $15 million to make?
$15 million.
This movie cost $15 million to make, and I feel like it's better than any... He's not comic related, but he's pop culture. Mm-hmm. It's better than any real pop culture mm-hmm. franchise thing they put out in the last like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Like, and were there parts in the movie where the CGI may have not been the cleanest? Yeah. But it was even in that, it kind of gave it character to me because I'm like, we've come from a man in a rubber suit.
Yes.
And it was almost like purposely that gives me kind of that feeling too, because I'm like, we know it's not the cleanest or the best, but it doesn't even matter right here.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of movies now, especially with the comic movies and other genres, that they get so engulfed in a movie looking great and being aesthetically pleasing to the eye that, yeah, it looked great, but the substance in the actual movie wasn't there. And I was like, I wish you had an actual good story to go with these great visuals.
Why even do you one better? And I didn't hate this movie because, like I said, we're going to get into like the comic book stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate the third Ant-Man. I liked it, actually.
Yeah.
But there was times where, like you said, the Godzilla Minus One, well, the CGI is kind of... But it's so easy to overlook it. Yeah. The movie was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked just as good, if not better, than some of that stuff I saw on Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I know Ant-Man didn't cost you $15 million.
Right, right. You guys are like triple, like $200,000, whatever how much they end up spending to make it. And it was just, and he was terrifying looking.
Yeah,
one of the scenes, well, to me, the most terrifying Godzilla visual to me ever was towards the end, where that last time he was about to use his atomic breath. Mm-hmm. And he was like full after they brought him back up, and he was, you know, he didn't die, and he eyes were wide. He was right before my man gets to him.
Mm-hmm.
That still scene right there is crazy. Like, that's an insane visual. Just imagine putting yourself, if this were really happening and you were a person and you're watching that. And even during that scene where everybody kind of threw in the towel.
Yeah.
Before he flies into Godzilla, everybody kind of made peace with, yo, we're going to die. Because you see everybody is slow-mo. So I'm getting chills just talking about it now.
Yeah.
They go slow-mo. Some of the guys start taking off their hats.
We fired all the bullets we had.
And they said it didn't work. And we're just subsiding and we're accepting our fate. And then even that emotional part of that movie was just everybody kind of... Because I like the one military, the guy that had the meeting to tell, hey, we have a plan and all that. I wish I could remember all these people's names, because like, that guy, and I don't want to butcher their names and all that, but when he...
That's kind of why I'm not even, like, I have them written down, but I still don't even want to say them, because I'm just going to sound like a total jerk. Like.
But it was just like, even him in the movie, and then the doctor, and they just made peace at that moment with, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
We can't stop them.
And it was the perfect setup, because like I said, you're getting it, and you're like... But then my man comes in and it's like...
And it goes completely silent too. At that point, it goes silent. You don't hear anything. The music stops. Everything stops until you hear his plane come in. And like just, I get chills to think about just those little nuances and those little fine details.
Yeah. The details, it really, this movie really pays attention to the details. They're all in there. Like you said, everything, the timing of what, like everything was... Every part of this movie was just thought out.
Yeah.
And like I said, it looked incredible. To me, this I keep seeing, like, that was definitely hard. Like, he was, the whole movie, he's scary.
Mm-hmm.
The scariest part I keep seeing is, like, when he comes up and he's following that boat, and you just see, like, the half of his face and his eyes. And like I said, he just looks so fucking mean.
Yeah.
And then there's, like I said, the acting.
Yeah.
These people on a boat, like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it,
yeah,
too.
See?
They're acting like there is some giant monster chasing them. They look and make you feel scared to death. Mm-hmm. Like, God, like, and that's a thing, too. That's what's so great about this movie, because you forget what it was like to be scared of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Because maybe it never were.
Yeah, I think my thing was that he was always cool.
Yeah.
I love Godzilla. He's cool. I can't wait until he gets on the screen. And I think his screen time was perfect. Like, I'm in some MonsterVerse and Godzilla and sci-fi groups, and a lot of people complain about how long he's in the movie. And I tell people all the time, I was like, I don't think you guys realize how much he wasn't in a lot of the movies that we watched as kids. I think maybe the nostalgia kind of blurs your memory of how it was, but I was like, Godzilla was never on the screen a lot.
No, and like I said, it was smart.
Yeah.
It was very smart. Like, it's funny because I go back to, like, when Legendary is putting out their first Godzilla movie, which I thought was great.
And you know what was crazy? That's the first time we ran into each other after high school.
Yeah.
You think you, was I was, you guys were either coming out and I was going in, or you, I was coming out and you guys were going in.
I think.
It was one of those
two. I think you were coming out and I was going in, because I want to say we saw, like, the late thing, and I had my whole family with me, and we didn't know what to expect. But a lot of people complained, well, it's so many, it takes so long to see, like, Godzilla, blah blah blah, and then because you only see him that initial time, and then you don't see him until, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, that's what made it work,
yeah.
You know? Because I remember being in that thing. I don't know about you, but when he first showed up,
yeah,
people were clapping.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yep, my theater too.
Yeah, and I'll never forget being in that theater. For one, that was the last time I saw a movie. That was the last movie I ever saw with my dad.
Okay.
So that, cool. For some reason, like that Godzilla is almost my favorite, just because of that reason. All right. But I'll never forget, we're in the theater, and it's quiet, like people are all into the movie, and you know, the Mudos like kind of beat Godzilla, and you're just like, man, and then you see the blue.
Yeah.
And it's do, 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 do.
Yeah, people, I love that sound too. I love that generating sound.
Oh man, people were losing their shit when that happened. I was one of them. I was like, yeah! I was clapping, like it was cool, man. It was like if you were watching a movie at Comic-Con.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome, though. Yeah. It was an experience.
It was definitely, dude, it was cool. I miss experiences like that.
Yeah. Because when I, like, before this one, if I had to give you a favorite Godzilla movie, I'd probably say Godzilla 2014.
Yeah.
That people complained about how he was, I loved it.
It was great.
I loved how they introduced, like, what was that, the airport scene?
Yeah.
And then the one Muto's coming, and then you have the explosion, and it's all going, and then it, and then his foot comes down. I've watched that a couple weeks ago. I watch it to this day, still get chills when I watch it. I'm like, this scene is so dope. And then you get where he finally just looks, and you get that look, and then you finally hear the roar, and I feel like it was a great introduction to him, especially for, this is our first time doing an American Godzilla since Matthew Broderick. Yeah. which by the way, disclaimer, I do not recognize that as a Godzilla movie.
Hell no.
I don't. I'm sorry, no. I can't do it.
That dinosaur movie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we, like, this was our first crack at it again. I was like, look, that was probably, what, 15, 16 years or so later.
Well, I'm pretty sure Toho was like, we ain't ever letting you make a Godzilla.
Yeah, I think he was real apprehensive to let Legendary get that. I think he was real apprehensive.
You saw Godzilla Final War?
Yeah.
Where they, Toho let us know what they thought about Godzilla.
They definitely took care of Zilla, as they call him.
Zilla. For those who don't know, Godzilla Final War was, what was that, like 2004?
I feel like it, around that time. Early 2000s.
Couple years after the Matthew Broderick dinosaur movie, Toho put out a movie called Godzilla Final War, and one of the monsters is Zilla, which is the...
Terrible.
And Godzilla, like, just, it's a squash match.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As it should be.
Because that thing, so, you know, a funny story about that. I was so pumped to go see that movie.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So,
what were we, like, 11th, 12th grade? That was around that
something
time.
Like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, Nicole and Corey were going to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Two Delcastle friends I still have to this day, very close. And I forget what store I was in, but it was the day of the movie. And I forget what store I was in, and I guess they put out the toys.
Yeah.
And I saw what he looked like, and I was like, that's not fucking Godzilla. What is that? That's got to be the thing he fights in the movie.
Yeah.
No. I was like, what's this Jurassic Park looking fucking thing?
Yeah, it was like a
Godzilla.
It was like a Jurassic Park mutation.
It's all, they the studio shelved it, and I think that's the Raptor Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic World or whatever. It's the same fucking guy.
Yes. They said, here you go. This is what you got to get. it was just like, I don't know. I don't even. And then the whole ends up being a girl and had eggs, and then there were baby guts. I hate even mentioning.
Going to the Legendary films. Mm-hmm. I like how they changed him up in the second one.
Yeah.
They like some slight, like they made, I feel like the way he moved in the first one, he moved like the old Godzilla, like real stiff.
Yeah.
I like how they did more with the legs.
Yeah.
To make him more like
agile.
More agile. And that was funny too, like going to those real quick. It was like, oh, the first one, there's too much of the people story and not enough Godzilla. When the second one came out, there's too much of the monsters.
Yeah.
They got to put more people stuff in there and break it up. Like, hear yourself.
I said, nobody's going to be satisfied. Yeah, and even the 2014, I liked how on a lot of the scenes, You got the paratroopers, they're falling down, stuff's happening in the street, but the fight is happening above, and now the monster action is the background. You see it like, oh, Godzilla, the needles are going that way, and you're trying to run it. I appreciated that. Like, people were mad. Like, I was like, do you want 2 straight hours of just Godzilla wrestling around with these? Like, you think you want that until you see it, and then you're just like, wow.
Yeah. That's... We all thought we wanted that Undertaker Goldberg match.
Yeah.
We did.
He's like, you get it.
Like, so that, I can't think of his name, but that director who directed the 2014 Godzilla, he's the same guy who directed
Gareth Edwards, I think.
Yeah, that's it. He's the same one who directed Rogue One.
Okay,
Which is my favorite Star Wars movie. Yeah. Like, and I'm talking about out of the original trilogy, I think that's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Rogue One.
If you go back and watch his stuff, he's really good at the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, making, like, when you go back and watch Rogue One, where they're fighting on the island, and he had, like, everything seems massive, and then in scale, the way he shoots stuff, he brought a lot of that to the Godzilla movie, and it really worked.
Yeah.
Because everything's like, yeah, like, you really get the, he's just showing you how big this monster is to everything, and just doing, like, a great job of it all the time. I thought that was, like, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I wish he would come back and do, like, another one.
Yeah. That'd be good.
And my beef with the second one, because I like that one too.
Yeah, I like the second one.
My beef with the second one is, man, my man Rodan's not in the movie enough.
Yeah. I feel like we could have got more out of Rodan.
Yeah, right.
I feel like we could have got more out of him. I feel like it was a little more Mothra than my, like, even as a kid, I couldn't stand Mothra.
I was never a Mothra fan.
I always hated Mothra. I always wanted the guys to eat the little twins that would be with Mothra. Just eat them. Burn up Mothra's wings.
Come on, you're a giant prehistoric dinosaur, man. It's a giant moth.
Yeah, us. Like,
come on, man.
It's a lot to it.
It's a lot to it. What is like your favorite era of Godzilla?
That's a good one. Because I'm always biased to, was it the Heisei? I always forget how to pronounce the different eras. But then you got the Tawa. See, I don't want to butcher any pronunciations. I'm not even sure if I have a favorite era. Because I have different eras that I like because when I was a kid, that's what I was watching. Versus as I got older, I feel like this one looks better. And I pulled different. I was huge on the legendary. I kind of take from all of them.
Yeah.
Whether it's nostalgia, whether it's a design situation, whether it's a story. And, like, I don't even know where -1 fits, if it fits into an era. I don't know what they consider it now.
That's going to be interesting. That's a great question because, like I said, I don't know where... It's like its own standalone movie.
Yeah.
Even though it's got the... It's definitely in there with, like, Gojira and... Like Godzilla Raids Again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, to me, it's like in that era or whatever. But like I said, it's just such its own like entity. And like I said, it's just like I said, you can watch Godzilla -1.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, and they need nothing else.
Yeah.
And side note, when they just like in the last year, when they did that limited run of Godzilla 2000 in the theaters locally.
Yeah.
That was my first time watching that one. I had never seen that one before.
Really?
Which was cool. And the one that they showed in theaters here, I was told was the actual Japanese cut.
Of it? Yeah,
because they said the American cut, they added more jokes, they took out some things, and the American cut's supposedly not the better of the two. But the one that they were showing in the theaters was the actual Japanese cut with subtitles.
That's a shame, because I remember... So I saw the Matthew Broderick monster movie, dinosaur movie, left such a bad taste in my mouth. I remember when Godzilla 2000 came out, and I went and saw it at Movies 10. I took my mom to see it. Because my mom's who got me into Godzilla.
Okay.
My mom was a big Godzilla fan, but I think she secretly liked Kong better. Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's
like, I like Kong to a point, but he's definitely not. Yeah,
I was happy when Godzilla kicked his ass in that last
movie. Did he ever?
Yes, did he ever? Man.
and people are still in groups arguing how Kong really won. And I was like, how and where and which fight?
Okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Godzilla vs. Kong, and for all you haters out there who think Kong won, yo, you don't remember the part in the movie where they had to use the ship to pump his heart because he was dead? Godzilla killed that
him. It was it. He was done. He was down for the count.
Kong killed beat him. Mecha Godzilla with hell. Godzilla straight up killed Kong. Come on now.
And even that scene, people were like, well, Mechagodzilla was going to kill Godzilla. People don't remember, and I think the director actually came out recently and had to clarify. He says at that point in the movie, Godzilla's at 50% of his power because he just got done fighting Kong, multiple times?
Yeah.
And he blasted...
Like through like the atomic earth, yeah.
To the hollow earth. Like, do you think that didn't take energy out of him? And he clarified, I guess so many people are arguing over it, and like, oh yeah, well he was at 50%, which is another reason why he needed help beating Mechagodzilla. But I was like, people act like Kong was getting ready to beat Mechagodzilla by himself. I was like, no, he has to get the axe, and then he's still about to get killed until Godzilla blows the power into the axe. So I was like, what?
Yeah, like, what do you talk about? Like I said, man, Kong, no way. Kong got his ass beat.
Yeah.
Right?
Every time.
I'm sorry. Did you not see the part where Kong's pulling a lethal weapon and using the building to put like the shoulder back?
Right, right. He's like, I'll hop this ass back into this. Like, you know what I mean, truth hurts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And Shawn Michaels is a better champion than Bret Hart.
Right. Right.
We'll live in that fairy land too. Get out of here, man.
Oh boy.
Jason, my man, thank you for coming by.
I appreciate it.
Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I definitely want to come back.
Definitely want to get you back.
Yeah, this is cool. This is cool.
And like I said, if you like this, you know, follow us at the Marvel of Horror Podcast on YouTube. Like, subscribe, leave your comments. Drop some comments about some movies you want to see discussed on the show. And if you're local to Delaware, come on to the show. We'd love to have you and see what you think about horror in its present state and the past. And obviously we get off topic, so just, you know, come rap with us. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.